Welcome to Inside Out with you for another week. I'm Kathleen Hawkins and with me is Lee Kumutat.
Hello.
And gracing us with his presence again, Mr. Johnny Cassidy.
Hello, how are you doing?
So Damon's away today. This is the first Inside Out we've done without Damon.
Cat's away.
Those mice will play.
They will.
Tell us where he is, Lee.
Damon is off, and we have his permission to tell you all that he is off having a cover fitted for one of his eyes that he, well, he's sort of doing it as a bit of an experiment, he was telling me earlier, because he just feels that it might improve his appearance slightly. He's sort of a bit ambivalent about doing it. I guess, yeah, as I say, it's a bit of a social experiment for him. I kind of know what he's going through because I have a prosthetic eye that I've had since I was about four, and it is one of those things that I do worry about. And actually we're kind of talking about aesthetics and prosthetics today, aren't we? Because my mother, when I was in my early 20s, suggested that I start wearing slightly tinted glasses to, in her words, normalize my face a bit.
How did that make you feel when your mother said that? Was it something that was supposed to give you confidence?
Yeah, I think so. It was something I hadn't ever really thought very much about. And I just thought, well, if my mother thinks it, then it's probably a good thing. And so I started to wear glasses, and I wore glasses for a long time. And then a couple of people actually said to me, quite close together, why are you wearing glasses? I think you look fine the way you are. And so one day I just stopped wearing them.
It's an odd concept, isn't it? Whether or not you do think that you need some sort of artificial touching up or covering up. I remember going for, you do these family photographs that you get, you go to a professional photographer.
Where you have to pretend to like each other.
Yeah, well, and these
They're quite uncanny, those things, aren't they? When you see them hanging on people's walls, all perfect smiles,
but
family
together. It's the ones that they do nowadays, there's all action shots that you have to be doing star jumps and
just
stuff
laughing,
like that.
Constantly laughing all day. Yeah.
But I remember, you go for the viewings of them. They give you now a big strip, I suppose, maybe about 50, 60, 70, 80 photos that they've all shot there, and you go through them, you pick which ones that you want. Them I obviously couldn't see, but my other half, we were looking at them, and she was saying, oh, look, they've photoshopped.
So they had done it without talking to you about it. What did they change? What did they photoshop?
Because one of my eyes, I'm totally blind in the right eye, and there's the cataracts have grown there. It's a wilderness, a desert, really. So the cataracts are there. It's a big white sheen, and in photographs, things come up a lot more prevalent, don't they? So they had photoshopped it out and made me with these sort of cobalt blue Paul Newman eyes.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, she said, well, no, it's fine. You look really, really good in them.
Do you have blue eyes?
They still changed it, though. That isn't how you look, is it?
Yeah. It was a strange thing, and...
Did it make you feel uncomfortable?
No, not in the slightest. Because the photos look better, I thought, okay, I'll go with that.
Had they photoshopped anything else on anybody else?
No.
Of a few moles here and there?
Yeah.
They probably did, That's what they do, isn't it? They maybe make skin tones look a bit different or something like that.
But when it's something that is kind of integral to the way that you look, that's quite a big change,
isn't it?
It's a bit
cheeky, I think.
And I did think about it, but, just went with the photos. Because, to be honest, they were free. Them ones that you get in supermarkets that they give you?
So you couldn't ask for too much.
And the thing is that they try and do is, they give you two or three for free, and then because of the rest of them look so beautiful and brilliant, then you're supposed to shell out 600 quid for the rest of them.
And did you?
No, you just walk out with three free ones. That's the way you work it.
Kathleen?
Yes?
Can I ask you a question? You're a double below knee amputee.
Correct.
Do you wear skirts and dresses and things?
Well, this is... Now I do. Now I'm quite confident to wear skirts and dresses. But when I first became an amputee, no, I didn't at all. And I definitely wear trousers a lot more than I used to. Because I used to be a bit of a sun lover. And I used to definitely wear, short, flowery dresses and stuff. But it's the people staring that really gets on my nerves with that. You have to be really confident every day. You have to be on form and think, right, I don't care, I'm going to go out. And if people stare, if people ask me questions, I'm just going to wear my dress and my shorts.
But would that happen if you were wearing short shorts, little hot pants, and you're just your legs? You know, with any woman, would people stare? And is them sorts of stares welcome? Is it incredulous stares or wondering stares? Or
admiring or stares, admiring, you know?
Yeah.
Go, you know, go girl, get your legs out.
Mm. It's true. And it probably is a personal thing. It probably comes from me as much as anything, thinking that people are staring and then putting my thoughts into their heads of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But the stares are very different. They are. And I don't think they are admiring that much. They're more a kind of shock and I'm going to follow you with my eyes as you walk past me stare to see how that's working. And if I'm feeling positive, I think that's a great thing, because I think people probably haven't seen that many amputees. They haven't seen that many young female amputees walking around. And so if they learn something from it, then I think that's a great thing. But it definitely takes confidence.
And what are your prosthetics like? Are they realistic looking, or are they some of the carbon fibres? Or
see, this is the interesting thing for me, and is quite a big development. Is so I've been an amputee for about 7 years, and for the first five, I only stuck to the realistic looking cosmesis covered prosthetics. But now I've gone fully carbon fibre. They're black. They've got a metal pole at the bottom, and I think they look cool.
Yeah.
And
is that a statement? Cyberpunk?
Cyberpunk. I like that. It kind of is, yeah. It's a statement of how much I've grown in confidence being an amputee.
Yeah.
And it is a statement, actually, I'm not going to try and make them look realistic, because they don't, and I will fail no matter how much I try. And actually, people will probably stare more because of the bewilderment of seeing something that looks kind of realistic, but then they realise it's not. And with the black carbon fibre prosthetics, I do think people stare a lot more in kind of fascination and admiration.
Admiration is a good word, and I suppose it comes down to the way we all are. Like, you know, anybody, it's about confidence, isn't it?
Mm.
If you walk your head up high, you know, then you're going to ooze confidence. And, you know, I've got children and two daughters, you know, 13 and 11, and I will say to them, you know, that you're going to face adversity with what you look like. You know, they're both pretty gorgeous little girls, but, you know, obviously girls feel peer pressure about beauty and stuff like that, you know, and it's, you want to instill confidence. And just come back to what you said, Lee, about, you know, when your mother said, you know, whether you should wear those tinted glasses, did that knock your confidence or did it raise it?
I think it was something that came from a good place. I never thought my mother thinks I look ugly. I thought she wanted me to create the best impression that I could. And looks and presentation have always been really, really important to her and to me as a result. So I knew that it had come from a good place. It probably gave me confidence initially, yes. But in the end, you know, you kind of move on, don't you? Done with that. Done my glasses. Move on to the next thing.
Mm. That's the thing with parents as well, isn't it? Quite often with child amputees, especially arm amputees who don't often choose to wear prosthetics because they are cumbersome and heavy.
Mm.
It actually comes from the parents who are trying to normalise their children in some way by saying, let's give you this cosmetic looking prosthetic arm so people may not stare as much.
Mm.
This word normalise, Lee, you did a piece, Lee, for In Touch not that long ago, and it was these little dolls, children's dolls with prosthetics or there's ones with the white stick, the white cane.
Yeah, they're 3D printed dolls off the back of a campaign called Toy Like Me, which we also featured on the podcast last month or the beginning of this month. And they are 3D printing accessories for their dolls that indicate disability. So there's a white cane and I think they're working on a wheelchair and there are hearing aids. And Peter White, who's the presenter of In Touch, he went out to meet some children to find out what they thought, some blind children, to find out what they thought of these dolls. And it's a really lovely piece of radio, I have to say. One of the children says, well, I like the cane, but I don't think it feels like me because I'm ugly. And one of the other children said, "You're not ugly, you're a princess." Aww. And it was just the most beautiful bit of radio.
But this goes back to the whole idea of confidence and normalize, and the word normal. And perhaps confidence is what beautiful is.
Yeah. Mm.
You
know,
beautiful people are confident.
Yeah.
And confident people are beautiful. You know, so if that little girl, I don't know if she was blind from birth or what, or, you know, she'd went blind, but she is finding her way in the world. And once her confidence comes, then, you know, she will shine beautifully. But the little boy who said to her that she was a princess, that she was beautiful, you obviously did understand who she was.
Guys, speaking adorable. Of confidence, Ms. Hawkins.
Ooh.
You were telling me about your nightmare journey into work today.
Is.
And, you know, I just want to, you know, tell everyone about your nightmare journey and what happened.
Yeah. So my train was cancelled this morning and I'm staying at my boyfriend's parents' house at the moment. So I'm quite far out of London. So it takes a long train ride and then the tube as well. And so the train ride, I want to be as easy as possible before I get into the mayhem of London. And I got on this morning after this cancelled train. So it was obviously really busy. No seats, everybody jam-packed in, and I had to make my way into the carriage. And normally I don't have the confidence to go up to somebody and say, "Please, can you stand up for this half-hour train journey so that I can sit down because I've got prosthetic legs?" But this morning I had to sit down. I was in a bit of pain. And so I had to ask somebody to stand up, and it's awkward. I know it shouldn't be, but I do feel awkward asking people.
How did that conversation go and what was their reaction?
Well, first of all, I have to pinpoint which person I am going to ask. So I kind of rank them in order of who should be standing up the most to give
youngest,
me their seat.
Oldest, yeah, exactly. Big bags.
Invisible disability.
Yeah. I do a quick eye scan up and down. Do they look like they may have some mobility issues?
Yeah.
And so I approached a youngish gentleman and said, "Hiya, do you mind standing up to give me your seat? Because I've actually got prosthetic legs." And then he did the eye scan on me to kind of judge whether or not I actually did have prosthetic legs.
See,
or was
now,
just being incredibly cheeky.
See now, if you'd worn that lovely short flowery dress.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue.
You wouldn't have to have that conversation, would you?
Yeah.
But you're not going to use that as an excuse. What sort of lunatic would use that as an excuse to get a seat, would they? You know, if you were lying, did he think that perhaps you were lying?
Well, he didn't insinuate as such, but he definitely looked up and down.
And did he give you a seat?
Yeah, he did.
You know, that's brilliant. And what age was he? What sort of age was he?
He was mid-20s, I'd say.
There was, I was coming home in the train last night, and I've got a long train journey as well. And I got up off my seat, I went to the loo before I was getting off my stop. And I got off the train and I was walking down the platform. And this young lad, who's maybe about 19, 20, came running after me, and he says, here, when you get up, I tried to catch you, but you'd went into the loo, but I think this was yours, you left it on the seat, and it was a fiver.
Oh, nice.
You know, yeah, you know, and I'd left.
Do you think it was yours?
I think it was. I think, you know, as I pulled my phone out of my pocket, it must have come out. But he didn't need to do that.
No.
You know,
did you say, well, because you tried to do a nice thing, you can keep it, mate?
I thought about that afterwards.
It's good spending money.
But he, because he had turned on his heel and was back on the train before it took off again. You know, he had actually got off the train. He wasn't getting off at that stop.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? I walked down the platform thinking, God, isn't the world a beautiful place?
Do you think he would have given it back to you if you weren't blind?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Good question. You know, I'd like to think yes. You know, that's nothing to do with it. I think he was just a good lad.
Something that's always fascinated me, and I know I'm kind of bringing this back to aesthetics and prosthetics a bit, but is people who get tattoos where they can't see them. Why get a tattoo where you can't see it? And so I sort of thought, well, it must do something for them. So I, being blind, got a temporary tattoo to see whether it changed anything about how I felt about myself or about my body, or did it give me any confidence. And I got, it's probably a bit of a weird tattoo, but I got my favourite Australian animal tattooed on my wrist, which is a wombat, and made absolutely no difference. Washed off, wasn't aware of it at all.
On your wrist?
Yeah.
But people could see that, could they?
Yeah, but it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Did anybody else comment on it? I guess part of the reason for people to get tattoos in places that they can't see is other people being able to admire it.
Yeah.
Say to them, "I like that as well." Yeah. As well as them personally liking that design for some reason.
But, you know, people do get tattoos in places that other people don't see that much of as well.
No, that's an intimate thing as well.
Yeah. And a personal thing as well.
Well, it didn't work for me.
What I like is that people can get tattoos put onto prosthetic limbs.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can ask for tattoos to be put onto the external covering of prosthetics, which I love.
See, that is very cool. And it goes back again to what Damon is getting with the cover in his eye. Now, is he going for what, in the quotes, is normal looking eye? You know, hazel, brown, blue, whatever. Or would he go so far, like, you know, have red, fiery dragon eyes or cat's eyes?
Cat's eyes.
You know, if I could, you know.
Union Jack.
Good Lord.
He's gone really nationalistic.
Sorry.
I think, you know, if you're going to do it, like you, Kathleen, with the prosthetics, you know, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, make a statement. Just don't, you know, sort of mould back into the background. You know, really red, fiery, flaming eyes or the cat's or a dragon's eye or something.
It's like some of the 3D printed hands.
Yeah.
You can be Iron Man, you can be Superman.
Yeah.
Kids love that.
You've been writing about those, haven't you?
Yeah, there was an article up yesterday. We were talking about, so Nikki Ashwell got this super duper bionic hand last week, and it was in the news, but we were giving the other side and saying, well, how hard is it to get a bionic arm? What do people do instead? And it is very difficult. They're incredibly expensive bionic hands, and the NHS does give them out to certain cases, but they have to be special cases that justify the spending. So we're done for another week. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, do subscribe to us on iTunes.
You can email us ouch@bbc.co.uk.
You can follow us on Twitter @BBCOuch or on Facebook, BBC Ouch as well.
And we're on Twitter ourselves. What are you, Kathleen? What's your Twitter handle?
I am Kat, that's K-A-T _B_Hawkins.
And I am Leek, that's LWK005 on Twitter. And Johnny, you've got loads of followers.
Hi.
You've got loads of followers, Johnny.
He has. He's a prolific tweeter.
I am at Johnny Cassidy, J-O-H-N-Y, just one N, C-A-S-S-I-D-Y.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.